is just such a great ministry and activity. Now, with that said, please open your Bibles to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, as we go into week 4 of this study in the letter of Philippians titled Advancing the Gospel with Joy. Advancing the Gospel with Joy. This letter teaches us how to be joyful in tough times, living in the joy of the Lord and the salvation we have, and finding unity, not around our circumstances, but around the outcomes that we know will come to be through the Lord. Life is full of circumstances, but I want to say this week after week after week, do not be fooled. Despite whatever circumstances come your way, despite whatever struggles, despite whatever tough times happen, God's outcomes will always come to be. The advancing of the gospel will come. God's kingdom will come. He is sovereign and he is in control. Do not forget this. And what are we supposed to do? Continue the mission of Christ. Continue his work. Continue to spread the gospel. Today is planned to be a shorter message with communion. And we're doing communion after the sermon. And that way I can see how much time we have. But it's planned to be a little shorter as we just have a little introduction to chapter 3. We'll spend a few weeks here. There is so much here to talk about. With that said, let's read, follow along. And if you're using a Pew Bible this morning and you're still trying to find where we're at, it's page 922. I just took all the work out of it for you. 922. Open a Bible. Let's read. Finally, my brothers, and this is Paul speaking still speaking to the Philippi church here. He says, finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you is no trouble to me and is safe for you. Now, I want to highlight this. Remember, Paul is in prison. Paul is being persecuted. Paul does not know what awaits him, and it very well could be his death. And yet he continues to tell his brothers in Christ, fellow believers in Christ, the universal church, and his friends, rejoice. But notice this statement, to write the same things to you is no trouble to me. That means despite his circumstances, it is no trouble for him to say to rejoice. Because remember, our joy is not found in our circumstances. Our joy is found in the Lord. Our joy is found in our salvation. Our joy is found in the hope that we have of salvation and looking forward to a forever future with him. But he says, to write the same thing to you is no trouble to me and is safe for you. So rejoice. Rejoice, rejoice, rejoice. What a great book reminding us that despite troubling times, despite whatever's happening in the world, and do not be fooled, yes, the world is still a hard place. But God will still be glorified, and we can still find our joy because we have it. Let's read forward. I'll start over. Finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you is no trouble to me and is safe for you. Look out for the dogs. Look out for the evildoers. Look out for those who mutilate the flesh, for we are the circumcision, who worship by the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh. Now, he's going to speak about confidence in the flesh. He says, though I myself have reason for confidence in the flesh also, if anyone else thinks he has reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Now notice that he's saying that all these things which should put him at the superiority of the religious system of the day, he counts as loss. None of it matters now that he has this faith in Christ and knows that he's saved through faith, through works, through faith and through Christ's work, not through his works. He says, whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. I hope and pray you can say that same thing. He continues on, for his sake, the sake of Christ, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish. None of it matters to him. The loss of all these things that he had confidence in, it is rubbish. In order that I may gain Christ and be found in him. Not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ. The righteousness from God that depends on faith. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection. And may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. That by any means possible, I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us who are mature think this way. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. Only let us hold true to what we have attained. Verse 17 now, if you're following along. Brothers, join in imitating me. And keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. For many of whom I have often told you, and now tell you even with tears, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction, their God is their belly, and they glory in their shame with minds set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven. And from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to the subject all things to himself. Let me repeat that last verse. Who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. Thank you for following along with the Word of God. This morning, we're going to be talking about losing your life. But this will be a three-week series, roughly 3 weeks. That's what's planned, as I just want to get into it today. With communion today, with the fact that we've had several weeks of longer than normal messages. Thank you for your grace there, your mercy there. I've just had a lot of fun in Philippians. But I want this to be a little bit more to the point. So we're going to be in this about 3 weeks. Today we'll set it up. We've read the whole chapter, and then next week and week after, we'll look at specific parts. And in this, I want you to see what it means to lose your life. Specifically, to lose your life for the sake of Christ. Paul and Christ are examples to live a godly life, and as one of whom advances the gospel at all cost and with joy. And this is also our model of life. Our model, Paul says, is to look to him, and look to others like him. Paul is a model for us in learning what does it mean to persevere through struggle, through tough times, the tough stuff, through hardness of life and situations, circumstances, as we focus not on that circumstance, but on what you and I and all those who trust in the saving grace of God through Jesus Christ know is to come. We have a hope in Christ. Amen? You're still awake. Thank you. We have a hope in Christ. Amen? Amen? Praise the Lord. Paul is okay with losing for the sake of Christ. And we also should be okay with losing for the sake of Christ. In fact, Paul rejoices with the opportunities, with the blessings. Can you say that? It's an opportunity to be persecuted for our faith. It's an opportunity to go through hard times, tough times, the hard stuff. It's a blessing. That's hard to say. That's hard to acknowledge at the very least. But let me say this, and this is for the end of the sermon, but I'm going to say it now because I think it's powerful. You see, we all love the mountain peaks. We all love to be on the peak, looking down at the valleys. In fact, every one of you can probably envision some mountain peak or some hillside. I can envision right now every year when I'm driving south on the way to Ohio and you get on 53 southbound, probably around Osseo or so, and I don't know where it is, but I know the vision. There's this one hill, you get to the top on 94, and you're just looking across the valleys, and it is beautiful. But here's the problem. We don't grow on those mountaintops. we grow on the hillsides and in the valleys. You see, the hillsides, the valleys, blessings come through those, even though they're hard. That is hard stuff. It's hard taking one step after another, climbing that hill. It's hard being in the valley, thinking like, where am I going to go? But you can find joy even in those times. Now, not speaking metaphorically, but speaking specifically to the life of a Christ follower, you find joy in those times. You find strength in those times because you know you are not alone. Christ is with you. The Holy Spirit is empowering in you, and he has given you an army of brothers and sisters in Christ to strengthen you, to pull you along, to even carry you in those tough times. Continue to find joy. Rejoice in those times, and continue to see them as opportunities and as blessings. Now, we've gotten so much ahead of ourselves, but the point is we need to look to Paul as a model, as an example, and a Christ. Friends, here's my next slide here. Friends, persecution, suffering, and hardships, the tough stuff should come as no surprise to the Christian. No. The Bible is full of examples of people who went through suffering. We ourselves go through suffering all the time. We go through troubles. We go through persecution. Paul was no stranger to his tough stuff, but still he rejoices in Christ-likeness, in godliness, and in the opportunities to be found in these times. And friends, see this, see our lives. Hardship must not cause a lack of godliness, but instead drive us more to godliness. Now that's the struggle, isn't it? Because when we're in those hard times, sometimes we run around like a chicken with its head cut off. And some of you have actually butchered chickens, and you can envision that. Praise the Lord, when I butchered chickens with the possums, Joya put it in a cone upside down, so I didn't get to watch that. But I hear they really do that. Is that what your life looks like when you're struggling? Or do you remain a nature of godliness? And maybe that's a struggle. I mean, maybe not even maybe. It is. And that's all the more why Paul says, look to me. Look to others like me. Be encouraged. A great opportunity is found in these times to imitate Paul and Christ and advance the gospel. Do the work. No matter the tough stuff that comes your way, we should go through these times in a God-glorifying and Christ-like manner, just like Paul. Look at Jesus. Imitate Jesus. Jesus served the Father's will, his glory and his goodness, even when it was hard, out of love, and with persecution and the cross, the death on a cross, in view. We too should expect these hard times to come. In fact, we can live for it. But we can live for it with hope. With other people of the world, they're living in tough times, but they don't know the hope that you know. Can they look to your life and see the hope that you have? Jesus was greatly persecuted, and in John 15:20 says, if they've persecuted me, they will persecute you. 1 Peter 4:12, we see the Apostle Paul in another letter said, don't be surprised as if some strange thing were happening to you when you encounter hardships. 2 Timothy 3:12, we read, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Now, yes, you're gonna have struggles. You're going to have hardships. You're going to have hard times. You're going to go through the hard stuff. Whether you're following Christ as you should and living according to God's righteousness or not. Because we do just live in a sin-filled, fallen world. Hard times are all around us. Diseases are all around us. It doesn't always mean you're being persecuted for your faith. But this is very direct that if you are living for Christ, proclaiming God's righteousness, God's truth, and the gospel of Jesus as Lord, you are more at risk, if not always, persecuted in some way. But what do? We carry on, and we find joy. Just like Paul, knowing that the gospel carries on. And sometimes that gospel is advanced with joy because of what you're enduring, and people are watching your life and they're seeing your hope. Sometimes the gospel carries on, as we see in the life of Paul, because Paul is now imprisoned, other people are stepping up. They can look to your life and they can see, wow, look what Paul has done. Look where he is now. I must step up and be challenged to fill his shoes. Acts 14:23-22 says, through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God. Continue on, continue on. Today in Philippians 3, we see Paul using himself as an example for how we are to go through the tough stuff, the hard times in life. And what I want to focus on here is verse 17. And if you're looking down in your Bibles, you can read it this way. It says in verse 17, and actually I want to read in two translations. In one translation, verse 17 says this, join together, I have it on the screen, join together in following my example, brothers and sisters. And just as you have us as a model, keep your eyes on those who live as we do. Now notice him speaking to the brothers and sisters. He's speaking to the church, his friends in the church at Philippi. But more than that, he's speaking to Christ followers. Follow his example. In one translation, in the ESV, the words change. Instead, join together, it says, join in imitating me. My first point to see in the scripture is this, community. Community. We are to join together in community. Joining together, that's what community really is, coming together, communing together. And especially for a common goal, a common cause, a common purpose, a common plan, we as Christians live in community together, imitating Paul. But more than that, we imitate Paul because of what we see he did with his life. He counted all these things of the world as rubbish for the sake of Christ. That's why we can say we must imitate him, because he's following the example of Jesus and advancing the gospel with joy despite any circumstance as he focuses on the outcome. And I ask you, is this you? Is this you? Because it could be. Do people look to your example? Are you modeling a life like Paul? Are you modeling godliness, Christ-likeness, glorifying God despite whatever is thrown your way? That doesn't mean we don't have to deal with hard things, and sometimes say hard things too as we deal with our circumstances. We do. That doesn't mean we don't have to live with some consequences of sin also. We do. But we should always look back to, are we glorifying Christ? Are we glorifying God? Are we seeking out the Father's will and his glory in how we deal with this? We look to the life of Paul. We look to the life of Christ, and we see them offering their own lives as examples to us. And it's kind of crazy, I wrote down, that he can write a scripture, a verse, a statement like this. Imitate me, my brothers and sisters in Christ. Maybe I can see that to my children, my daughters, my son. Maybe I can see that a little bit as a youth pastor, when I used to be a youth pastor, and now as a senior pastor to you, but it's hard, isn't it? Can you see yourself really saying to this whole group of people, friends, imitate me. I want you to join together in following my example. It sounds a little bit arrogant, doesn't it? And it sounds a little bit convicting, doesn't it? Is your life one worthy to follow? Well, if you're following the life of Christ in godliness, righteousness, I'd say yes. In fact, I'd say all of us see over and over in Scripture, we should be discipling others. And that does, the very definition of that means to find somebody and say, follow me and let's learn about Christ together. Let's learn God's truth together. Let's proclaim the gospel together. Let's go through this process of godliness, of Christ-likeness together. Let's make disciples. How often do you say that to others? Look to my life. But as you say that, make sure you finish it. Look to my life as an example of how to suffer for Christ's sake. That's what Paul is saying here. The church of Philippians had a very unique perspective in understanding how Paul endured persecution. They were very close, and Acts records that the very first days after Paul arrived the first time in the city of Philippi, he was thrown in prison. In Acts chapter 16, we actually read of this visit. Paul was thrown in prison, and he responded. If you haven't read this yet, go back to Acts 16 when you go home and read this. It is just amazing. He responds to his imprisonment by singing praises to God. We can imitate this. And let me tell you, we'll be better off for it. Sing praises to God. Paul knew what it meant to endure tough stuff, persecution for the advancing of the gospel. And he knew to do it with joy and praise to God. And what's so powerful about this story is we see that God responds to Paul's praises by supernaturally breaking him out of jail. And get this, in this example, in this scripture, we see that even the Philippian jailer would be impacted by Paul's example. The jailer would take Paul home. He would bandage his wounds and become a follower of Christ. More than this, it says his whole family would be baptized as new converts. What an amazing act we see of Paul praising God in the storm, you could say, praising God from jail. You see God's glory, and you see the gospel advanced. You see God's glory despite struggle, and you see Paul singing with joy and the gospel advancing. That's what we can do with our life, my friends. You see, baptism, and I wrote a side note here. This wasn't part of my original sermon, but I wanted to share. I had a great message by a man in this church yesterday morning. It was a little early. I think it was 6 or 6:30 in the morning. I'm not up that early. But he was challenging some of us other men to think, what are the three baptisms of Scripture? And then he came up with a fourth also. And I just wanted to tell you this. When you see it speaking of baptism in Scripture, one, we can be baptized to Christ or into the body of Christ, the church. And this is at the moment of repentance and salvation. Two, we have a physical baptism. And this isn't in particular order, but we have a physical baptism spoke of in Scripture by water, immersion, showing a public profession of faith and obedience to Him. Three, we have the baptism by Christ and the Holy Spirit coming upon the believer at the point of salvation. And then the number four, which was brought up, and we speak a lot today and in the life of Paul, baptism by fire, persecution. And we grow in these times. I want you to see this challenge, this lesson, and this could possibly bring about a point two and three. It's this, it's on the screen. As a community of believers, number two, set an example for others. We've already introduced this idea. You see, Paul says, imitate me, join together, look to my life, be like me, model my life. But then on the second part of that verse 17, he says, and look to others who are like us. Could your life be described as the one that is an other like him? As a community of believers, set an example for others, and then next, advance the gospel and sing, like Paul, for others to see and to experience the glory of God. That's that number three. Sing, sing, sing. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Praise the Lord. Because not only will you experience the glory of God as you take your focus off of your own circumstances, your own struggles, and focus on His greatness, but you also bring others into this wonderful scene to experience the glory of God for themselves. Friends, even if everything looks tough, dark, gloomy, deathly, even if it looks like hard times are here to stay and nothing is letting up, we are still to be about God's work, looking out for His will, looking for His purpose, living according to His ways. And as we do that, we focus not on the circumstance, but on the outcome. We focus not on proclaiming, Jesus, get me out of here. And it's okay to pray that too, Lord, save me. but it's more about saying, Lord, may you be glorified in this. Use it for your gospel. Use it for revival. Use it to save so-and-so. And that's why I add here to the sing, 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 I add sing, pray, and wait, and watch. Sing, pray, wait, and watch God's glory. The world is watching as followers of Christ as you and I endure hard times. What do you allow them to see? What do you allow them to see? How Paul responded and how we should be imitating could be a means of evangelism. He responded with God's purpose in mind, not his own desires, but on focusing on the advance of the gospel with joy. Focused on every struggle being an opportunity, a blessing. Friends, your actions authenticate our message. I'm going to start to close with this. Just a few thoughts here, and then we'll take communion together. Your actions authenticate our message or not. Or not. What do your actions authenticate? Our example can advance the gospel with joy or not. Or not. What example are you showing others? And finally, how we remember Christ and live for him glorifies God or self. Who are you living for? Paul says he counts all else as rubbish as he lives for the sake of Christ. And I pray that we would do the same. Do people look to you as a model of godliness like Paul? What does the world see as they watch you in your life? What do they see as they watch you on the hills and in the valleys? For this is where growth happens, but are we giving up before we reach that peak? Then when we reach that peak, do we give God the glory or ourselves? You see, at those peaks and in those hills and valleys, every step of the way, people can see the gospel. People can see God's work. They can see his glory. So sing, sing, sing. Sing and pray and wait and watch for the glory of God. Glorify God here and everywhere. And be okay with the idea of losing your life for Christ. Let me pray and we'll close this sermon and we'll move to communion this morning. Lord God, we thank you for this word. We thank you for Philippians. We thank you for Paul's life and him being so bold to encourage others to look to him. But Lord, with that boldness also comes conviction. Paul knew he could say this because he knew he was suffering for the sake of Christ, not for his own pride, his own confidence, his own wants or desires, but because he had given all those up and was living for you. And for the advancement of God's kingdom, his will, his glory, and the gospel of Jesus, the life-saving gospel of Christ. May we too find this to be hopeful. May we too live for this and count all other things of this world, desires, as rubbish. Lord, I thank you that you do desire us to live happy lives with many great things. But I pray that our hope would not be found in these things, our identity not found in our jobs, in our families, in our name or title, or in our belongings or hobbies. I pray our number one identity will be found as brothers and sisters in Christ, saved, redeemed by the blood of Jesus, as workers, as servants, as soldiers for you. And it's in your holy and powerful name we pray. And all God's people said, amen.